Are you on Faire? Faire is a marketplace to connect product-based businesses with retailers. Think of it as like an Etsy, but for stores. This is a great way to get your product in front of retailers and expand your revenue. Please make sure your products are priced accordingly for those margins. Wholesale is 50% off people, and Faire takes 15% off the first order and 10% off all return orders. Apply now at faire.com. So that's faire.com/apply/girlgangcraft. Welcome to the Girl Gang Craft podcast, where we dive in deep to all things business, wellness, creativity, and activism for artists and entrepreneurs. We talk with impactful, female-driven companies and founders for an inside look at the entrepreneurial experience, where you'll come away with tangible steps to elevate your business. Are you ready? I'm your host, Phoebe Sherman, founder of Girl Gang Craft, artist and designer and marketing obsessed. We're here to learn together how to expand our revenue, implement new organizational techniques, and cultivate best business practices as we work towards creating a life doing what we love. Let's get started. Hello, hello. Hey, creatives. Welcome back to Girl Gang Craft, the podcast. Phoebe here. We have Amy Larson from Overseason and Matriarch Rhode Island. We'll talk about her in just a moment. As this episode is live, things that are happening, we have kept our Providence applications open till April 12th. And that is also when the Mother's Day gift guide is due. So if you are interested in being in our Providence show or our Mother's Day gift guide, go ahead and make sure that you apply on our site right now. Get those apps in. And actually, for the Mother's Day guide, everyone gets in. So it is a $75 investment. You sign up online and then we send out our Mother's Day guide. It'll be on our website and we send it out to our community and beyond. It's a great opportunity to get in front of small business supporters who want to shop for their mom and support small businesses while doing it. So go ahead, check that out. You can find information about both things, both activations, Providence, and Mother's Day guide, girlgangcraft.com/apply. And yes, today we have Amy on the podcast. Amy and I met at SOA a few years ago, like right when I moved here, and loved her stuff. Obviously, super in alignment with our stuff here at GGC, feminist, and also food apparel. So Amy is the owner of Matriarch, a gift and bookstore featuring woman-owned businesses in Newport, Rhode Island, as well as the founder of Overseasoned, a culinary retail brand. Her businesses represent her combined passion for food and intersectional feminism. She has been designing and selling apparel and kitchen accessories through her Overseasoned brand since 2017. Merchandise with signature slogans like Smash the Garlic and the Patriarchy and I Scream for Reproductive Rights both empower and give back to the community through nonprofit contributions. Amy opened Matriarch in May 2023 as the flagship brick and mortar store for Overseasoned. In addition to her own Overseasoned products, she also sells jewelry, accessories, art, books, and uniquely fun gifts made primarily by women-owned businesses at Matriarch, including our stuff. The shop is also a space for community and creativity, hosting workshops like crafting classes and wellness events. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, creatives. Welcome back to Girl Gang Craft, the podcast. Today, we have Amy on the podcast. You might know her from Overseasoned or the store Matriarch in Newport, Rhode Island. Welcome to the podcast, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me, Phoebe. I listen to this all the time, so it's a joy to be here.
Oh my goodness. Yay. Well, thank you so much for being here. Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So my brand is Overseasoned, and I launched that in 2017. And so within that brand, I have feminist and foodie designs. So for example, Smash the Garlic and the Patriarchy, Cabernet and Equal Pay. And I produce those on tea towels and aprons, so kitchen accessories, as well as adult and baby apparel and some other fun products every once in a while, like oyster shucking knives and things that sort of support the foodie feminist brand identity that I have. And in addition to that, in 2023, so last spring, I opened a store called Matriarch, which is the flagship store for my brand Overseasoned, but I also have outfitted it with other woman-owned business products and books and cookbooks and all types of fun gifts and cards and just sort of like a colorful, nice space to go to buy gifts or just hang out or find something unique and support women businesses.
So exciting. So I was thinking about, well, first of all, when I was writing up your podcast questions, I wrote unseasoned, like naturally. And I was like, no, like, that's not right. So I had to tell you that. But so we first met at SOA. I was just an attendee and I bought your Shuck the Patriarchy tote. And I was so excited because I had someone perfect to give it to. And our brands are very in alignment. Like, you know, we have the feminist apparel. Yours is so niche. I love that it's from a kitchen lens. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So yes, I think that, so in 2017, like right after the first Women's March, I attended the march in Boston. You know, everything was, you know, people were going nuts about like, we need to do this, we need to do that. It was very reactive to the current politics. So at some point, like in my head, I just thought, smash the garlic in the patriarchy, and I envisioned it with this like feminist like fist and having it in purple to symbolize the women's movement. But essentially, I think that my interests and values of feminism and food just sort of fused together in my brain. And so everything that I do is like that Venn diagram, which like you said, is very niche. And so it's been really interesting in what I've been doing because I started producing just that one design and I had it on three products and I was working another job, full-time job at the time, and people really liked it. And so I was like, I thought this was funny and cute and I like details, so I made it. But other people have that like center of the Venn diagram interest as well, feminist food. So it just sort of kept going from there. And I thought, so I did Culinary Goddess and Ice Cream for Reproductive Justice, Root for Women, Cabernet Equals Pay. I mean, these are all like, it's literally just like, I just take those two things and I fuse them together. And that's definitely been like my most successful designs. I also do some other designs that are just visual or yeah, but that's just like, it's just me, my interest out there and other people like it too, which is great. So I kind of feel like this whole thing started by accident with me just kind of putting out a funny idea. And then I just kept following the opportunities of people who like to buy it.
So you were doing a full-time job. Can you tell us a little bit about, was it an artsy job? I don't actually personally know. What was your other job?
No, so I was working in HR. So yeah, so I did an undergrad in business school, but I just kind of was like, since college, I worked as a restaurant manager. And then I was working in marketing. Then I was working in HR and like working as a server in restaurants also in between. So like my overall passion from basically my whole life is food and cooking, baking, et cetera. So I've always kind of been looking for ways to have a foray into that. So I think in 2016, I started a food blog, as there are so many food blogs out there. But I felt like it was really tiring to like get online and write blogs after like working on the computer all day at like my marketing job. So then I sort of pivoted into printing actual like recipe zines. And so I was doing that for about a year and like distributing recipes that way. And so I was always kind of like trying to get food into some element of my life and doing it like in my free time.
And where did the graphic stuff come from? Have you been always doing art your whole life just for fun, or how did that become integrated?
No, not really. I just like, I think I had the idea for my slogan and then I had the idea for how to draw it. And so I just kind of practiced a little bit, but yeah, my designs are like a means to communicate my ideas. So I love color and art and design and everything, but I would say like, I just use the design as a way to get the ideas out there.
So interesting. Okay. So tell us a little bit about what the transition was like from, you know, running your business and working a full-time job and how you transitioned to full-time.
Yeah, definitely. So I was definitely side hustling pretty hard for several years of when I started my business. So I had my own website and I had like a couple of products for about like a year and a half before I even had any other ideas. So that was actually kind of like, it's been kind of a slow build, but sort of evolving at the right times, I think, if I like look back on it. But So when I was doing it as a side hustle the first couple of years, I would do a couple pop-ups a year, like on the weekends, markets like the one that you run and Boston Women's Market and some other pop-ups like SOA, like you said, where we met, while kind of doing all of my other life stuff. And I was also growing like my wholesale business as well. So that kind of helped me get in a lot of having a lot more exposure. And I still think that wholesale is an amazing strategy and so helpful for me. And anyways.
We'll talk about wholesale later, I promise.
Yeah.
Everyone listening. Yeah, it is important.
So I was, you know, doing pop-ups, getting in front of the community, hearing from people as much as I could while working my full-time job and doing also other crazy things like making people's wedding cakes and just doing all kinds of little like dinners and classes and stuff like that and just going nuts with pursuing all of my interests at the same time, which is really chaotic, but I have a tendency to do sometimes. But then I was still running my business as a side hustle in 2020, and things really shifted. My online business was growing a ton because everybody was at home wanting to buy things online. Not only that, but I have like the softest sweatshirts ever, and so people were wanting to buy those. So it was very well positioned. What I was selling was very positioned for what people were looking for at that time. So that really helped me scale to the point where I could exit my full-time job, which I did in early 2021. And then the world was kind of starting to open up again. And so then I sort of went all out of, I'm going to just do all the markets and just be out there as much as possible. And I did a course, retail, Feel Good Retail with Janine, who you know. And that also really helped me. I was really overwhelmed when I first was like, okay, this is my whole job. This is my whole income. Even though I kind of already met the point where I was like, okay, this is financially viable for me to do this. I was like really overwhelmed of everything that I could possibly do, everything I needed to do. And so I took that course that was really helpful for me. And then I started scaling the wholesale even more, getting out to a lot of markets. And then in 2022, I was doing so many markets and realized like that was just an amazing opportunity that I hired two people to help me get out there and be at multiple markets on the same day. So scaling the footprint for the pop-up that way. And that was going really well as well. But then, as you probably know, like for being a small business, like at the end of 2022 and early 2023, so last year online, being a small business selling online got really, really hard. I think like it was just like everyone was showing up and like online sales were doing so well. Like the beginning of the pandemic and then the transition out of that, I guess just I could speak to my own experience of like early 2023 was just tough and with my online sales. So I started getting out there and doing all of my markets again. And even in like the winter, they were going really, really well. And so I was just like, okay, in-person shopping is like the trend, at least for my category right now. And I was really overwhelmed by that because I was like, that means that I personally, or me and my one employee then, will need to be out here all the time. And that's really tiring. It's awesome, but it's also really hard because I was driving like up to Lowell, Salem, like all over the place, New York City multiple times, like just using all of my energy to be out there and get in front of customers because I knew that was how I physically had to be in front of customers. And so I was like, okay, I need to be in person. I need to be in front of people. But this like strategy is like really difficult on me personally and my time. So I was just like sort of stuck of like, what am I going to do? This feels like really, I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know if I'm going to be able to like take on all of this in order to, you know, kind of keep up with the sales that I wanted to do. And then I was trying to take a break because I was like extremely burnt out. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just like not work this week. I'm just going to like lay around, like play tennis, read, whatever. And like, I want to say like the first or second day of my break, I saw a real estate listing for an awesome space in Newport on Thames Street. And so I was like, reach out to them. And in my like, you know, real estate panic, I was like, is this place still available? And they were like, yeah, we just put it up like an hour ago. Like no one else has talked to us. And I'm like, okay, like, let me come and see this. And, you know, like the location, the price is so good. And I already had like the vision of what I wanted to do because I'd been thinking about this for like 2 years of like, what would it look like if I had my own space? And so then even though I was in my like break, I was like, okay, here we go. Execute the business plan that I've been thinking about and put up together my brick and mortar store over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks in May so that I could get it open before summer, which was crazy. But yeah, so that was kind of a interesting and very well-timed and really kind of like magical evolution. But I was also like, I had been in communication with a commercial real estate agent for probably like a year and a half, just kind of thinking like, okay, this would be really good. Like, let me see what's out there. And I had seen two or three places that they weren't quite right. And so I was kind of already looking for the right opportunity, but not like just trying to force in, just be in any store because I knew. And even now that I have the physical store, which I've had for like over 6 months, it's like, it's the location is so, so important. So I'm so glad that I like waited for the right place and executed at the right time. So I think that's a very, very long-winded summary of how I am here with the different arms of my business.
I love it. Well, first of all, congratulations. So exciting.
Thank you.
I'm so glad the timing worked out and the location worked out. Were you in Rhode Island at that point? Or were you still in Boston?
Yeah, I was in Rhode Island. So yes, I was living in Boston for like 8 years. And then I moved to Rhode Island in 2022 fall. So yeah, I've been here for, I don't know, almost a year. Yeah. So that was another good positioning of the timing because some of the time that I was sort of thinking about commercial real estate, I wasn't even in the state, which I don't think that's like totally would have precluded me from being able to pursue something. But I think it just felt right. Like things were starting to align and I was in the right place at the right time.
You could win a 30-minute coaching call with me to talk about whatever you want. Let's talk about your business goals. Let's talk about how to get you where you want to go. All you need to do is leave us a 5-star review, please and thank you, and a little note about your favorite episode or how this podcast has helped you. We will pick a winner every single month. Make sure to leave your Instagram username in the review. This is for Apple Podcasts, folks. So go ahead and leave us a 5-star review with a little note and your Instagram handle in Apple Podcasts for a chance to win a 30-minute coaching call with me. Thank you so much. We want to boost our reviews so more folks just like you can listen to our podcast. Thanks for listening. We love you. If you're looking for a new email provider or if you haven't started sending out newsletters yet, may we suggest Flowdesk, women-owned and originally created in San Francisco. We love Flowdesk and have been using it for, I don't know, like 5 years so far. We love it. It's affordable, easy to use, and beautiful to design gorgeous emails and really easy to do workflows as well. And they just announced that you can share templates. So this is really cool if you're a designer and you want to share templates with your customers. This could be even a new revenue stream. We're planning on sharing some of our best templates as well down the road. Check out Flowdesk. You can get 50% off the first year. So that brings your monthly total down to $19 the first year to use Flowdesk. And it doesn't go up depending on like how many contacts you have, like some other programs. So you can get 50% off the first year with the link bit.ly/ggcflowdesk. GGC is all caps and so is the F in Flowdesk. Or you can go to flowdesk.com/c/ggc2020. Gets you 50% off your first year. Also, if you need help with email, we've got a class for that. Go to girlgangcraft.com/classes. And as always, feel free to ask us any questions about the brands that we love or our classes and what they're going to help you do. So I kind of want to go back to this like pandemic moment because I think especially you're just such a good case study for a product-based business.
Yeah.
And like I think so many people have been having this like hard transition out of the pandemic and there's a lot of reasons for that, right? Like so many reasons. I'm not going to list all the reasons, but like I mean I think a lot of small businesses did really well and yours included. I mean, how niche was yours too when everyone's inside baking also. Yes. You know, they have to have the matching outfits to the things that they're baking. But like, I don't know. I mean, we talked about you getting a store and like these other ways that you sort of made the business work. But I don't know, like, what were some of those strategies that you were also trying to utilize during that time to also increase your online sales? Or like, I don't know, any sort of observations that you were seeing in that like transitional time?
Yeah, so definitely. Yeah, I'm glad. That's a really good question, because it's not like I was just like, okay, things are going well, so I'm just like doing well all the time. It was a well-timed moment, like in the beginning, where everybody wanted to support small businesses, which was great. And I was seizing that moment. But I was also responding and like trying to add value as much as I could. So for example, like I mentioned before, how I started out like as like my first side hustle doing recipe zines and sending them out and like little handwritten recipes in a lo-fi format. I decided to reprise that the summer of 2020, because everybody, like you just said, everybody was cooking, like, let me learn something new. I literally have to cook for myself. I can't go to my favorite restaurant, et cetera. So I reissued like all of my favorite summer recipes in that summer and sold that. People really liked that. And on that same note, I like did a design about like helping restaurants that went back to, I don't know, I think it's called Restaurant Coalition or something like that. But there were a lot of nonprofits before there was like the federal funding for helping restaurants and small businesses that were like, let's save restaurants. So I did a design about that. I also like, you know, all the music festivals and events in general were canceled. So I did like a summer, my own version of like a music festival tea that has the lineup. But instead of the lineup, it was like all the different summer things like watermelon, scallops, you know, clam chowder, all those kinds of things. And so I was definitely playing with the moment and seeing where inspiration came at that time. And then also when it became winter and everyone was like, whoa, okay, this is still like really, really bad. I'm stuck at home. All sorts of issues with that. I created this thing called the stay-at-home starter kit, where it had like one of my soft sweatshirts, a book, a coloring book with coloring materials, maybe like a nail polish, a candle, like sort of like activity, but also comforting things, sort of like a self-care sort of bundle. And I worked with like other small businesses and I like bought them wholesale for that. So that was also kind of like a foreshadowing of like a lot of the products that I carry now in my store and sort of how I would bundle and package them alongside my products. And people really liked that as well. Yeah. So I think a lot of what I've done is like, I don't respond to every single, you know, moment or thing that's happening in the world, because that would be hard. But I do have like a sort of community and social responsibility, like mission aligned with my business. And so I'm kind of looking out for ways to speak to those things that people are really caring about.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about like sourcing and inventory, like, you know, sort of testing an idea. How do you do that? How do you know a product's going to do well? I mean, I'm sitting here looking at some of my stuff that's just, you know, sitting here that's on sale right now at the time of this recording. Like, how do you sort of manage, like, first of all, like what products you pick and like how many to order? Mm-hmm. Let's start with that.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a huge, I don't want to say game, because it's not a game. It's like my business, but
it's our livelihood.
It's an ongoing calculation and prediction, which you can never predict. And so, yeah, I can definitely speak to that. So something in terms of what products I pick, something that's been really cool that I didn't set out to do, but has really informed how I do business, is that it's very customer driven. Like, for example, I just had the tea towel and the apron and the tote bag. And then people were like, can you put this on a shirt? And people asked me to put on a shirt for like over a year. And I was trying to figure out what to do, because I knew that I was going to have to carry multiple sizes and what color to pick and what type of shirt to pick. And so then I finally did that.
And they're going to also want a tank top and a sweatshirt and in multiple different colors and one for their baby.
Yes. So
that but then who's going to buy which item? And are they going to commit to that?
That is exactly it all the time. So then, yeah, then I created those. And then people were like, okay, but can you put it on a baby bib? Can you put it on a baby onesie? And then it just, and I follow a lot of those requests. Like, I think I have something about me as I've created, I don't know what it is exactly, but people see me as like an open door. They ask me in person all the time, well, what if you put on, can you put on this? Can you do a zipper sweatshirt? Can you do a hoodie? Can you do a crop top? Can you do a not crop top, et cetera? And people email me all the time, DM me. And so I've definitely created this approachability. I have this approachability, which is great because a lot of the times the ideas are awesome and I pursue them, or I wait for there to be a certain number of requests. And then I'm like, okay, people want this. I've got to do it. But that being said, sometimes, you know, people were always asking me for hoodies. And so I did them. I think I did like one hoodie for each design maybe. And yeah, I'm sitting on the hoodies right now. Like people say, can you do a hoodie? Can you do a hoodie? And then they don't actually want it. So it's really, I have no solution for that. I really don't know. Except if I wanted to do production through something like Bonfire, where it's like made to order. But I
haven't heard of Bonfire. It's like print on demand, like Printful or Printify.
Exactly. Yeah. But my process is that I work with a screen printer in Somerville called QRST, and they're awesome. I've been working with them for a long time. So they're basically my production partner. And so I sort of put myself, I decided to select Bella and Canvas as like the exact, like the type of sweatshirt and shirt. And so I sort of work with them to look at colors, and they'll do a sample for me, which is really great. And it used to be crazy because I had a whole room in my apartment. Slash it went into the hallway, slash it went into the living room of all these cardboard boxes of my products. Now I have like the store in the stock room, but for sure, if you have a lot of inventory and you work for yourself, you know how much inventory you have because you literally live with it. So yeah, I think I would, it's definitely something that I'm constantly been thinking about that I don't have like an exact process yet for testing things out. I've tried a couple like pre-orders. I've tried that a couple times. I think that could possibly be something that could work, but I think I ultimately am just like, okay, I'm going to send it. Like I'm going to go for this. And if people don't respond right away, I just sort of figure out how to remarket it, reposition it, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And making sure that you had enough inventory on hand for multiple markets in a day. What was that process like?
Okay, yeah. So the opposite problem like that, what you just said, which is running out of inventory, is also a calculation and a really difficult balance because I also sell on multiple channels. And so, yeah, like you said, the multiple markets in a day, online store, my wholesale business, which I sell through Fair, but I also sell directly. So Fair is like a little platform where people can find. It's not little, it's huge. So I could just get an order then anytime somebody wants to buy like 30 Shuck Patriarchy towels. Okay, now I'm sold out because I do kind of prioritize my wholesale client. I want them to get it. So I would definitely take it off the floor for them. But yes, that's another really tricky thing with balancing the online inventory, especially because sometimes something happens in the world where then all of a sudden people are reacting and buying up a bunch of one of my certain products because a lot of them are like aligned with social movements. So then I'm sold out of that, but everybody wants it. So all of these things are quite the dance that I now have enough sort of historical data to kind of know what, how much to order for markets per se, because they typically have the same foot traffic again and again. Like holiday markets, et cetera, I can plan a little bit better for that, but I can't like always plan for like, what if some influencer wears it and then everyone buys it up and then it's sold out and everybody wants it, which is also a good problem to have. But the thing about have a good problem to have is that it's still a problem that you have to resolve. So
are you using any like inventory management system?
So I run my website now through Shopify. Up until this time last year, I was doing Squarespace, and Shopify definitely has more analytical insights for me. And then it's also synced up with QuickBooks, and they have like all these things about how much you have. But because I only just switched over to that last year, those insights haven't quite synced up. So I think essentially to answer the question, a lot of it is like, it's a combination of like looking in at the insights and like taking chances and also having good faith in your ideas.
Yes. And also getting inventory is expensive. So how is that something that you integrate into your strategy?
Yeah. So I kind of try to have like buying periods where I'm stocking up on inventory with the hopes that they are like sort of moving through and selling at that time. And then when I do seasonal things, I try to have them. I kind of have been working on the numbers of like how much seasonal do I order, because I've definitely ordered too much seasonal in the past. And then same thing now that I have the store with ordering other brands and other products for the store, I'm trying to look at, okay, this is how much budget I have for this season or this category, depending on what I'm seeing in terms of the categories moving. Because I do think that it's important to have new things, but you can't always be adding new things. But that's another dance, because people who have been buying from me since 2017, or like my close friends and family, are like, what's new? Or even like my wholesale accounts, what's new? But you can't always be doing that, because maybe I could be doing that if I had fulfillment or a larger space or something like that. But that's definitely a balance when you're sort of running a lean business.
It's so hard. And I identify so hard mm-hmm. because I probably have less SKUs than you. But there's definitely some clear, you know, bestsellers. And so I lean into the bestsellers. My bestsellers are my most expensive items, right? Yeah. So like our Divinity sweatshirt is, it's also the most expensive up front, right? So it's like, but also some people who've been shopping with me since, you know, 2017 also have everything I've made. So it is hard. Yeah. It is really hard to be like, okay, well, I want to make this new stuff, but you have to clear out the old stuff too. Do you have sales, or do you have any strategies to get rid of sticky inventory, if you will?
Yeah. Every once in a while, like if something was really sticky, I do something this is a strategy that businesses use a lot. And like, I see through it now when I see other people doing it, but because I do it, which is that like, I'll like package it with something, or I'll be like, okay, if you buy a hoodie, you're getting two tea towels or something like that. And so consumers love it because they feel like they're getting something. So those are some things that I like to try. But it's also, I don't know. The thing is that people love to see a sale. So like, even like in my store right now, the little sale corner, which is literally just like tank tops and crop tops, people just go straight there. And then they're like, oh, this is only summer things. It's like, yeah, that's what's on sale.
Yeah, it's February.
But they do,
in Rhode Island.
They do like to, like, they like to see it. So I definitely am not against like having things on sale for a while, knowing that they're going to come back. Like the same exact things that are on my sale rack now are going to be full price in like 2 months. So yeah. Another thing that I've done is like, if something is sort of sticky, but is popular, like there's interest in it, I'll do like a giveaway with another brand where like I have like a couple, you know, friends where I'm like, let's just get together, because it's mutually beneficial. I love doing things like that. Even if people don't buy the exact thing that's sticky and you're trying to get rid of that you're promoting in the giveaway, you get this cross promotion. And if you do the right number of like collab giveaways like that, I think they work really well. I don't think you can do them like, because people contact me a lot for them. And so I don't think you can do them like every month or even every other month. But when you do them with the right brands, people really like it.
I know we've kind of given up on giveaways for a little bit, not on purpose, but it just sort of hasn't been part of our strategy. And like, I'm feeling it. Lots of people have been mentioning giveaways. I've been like, okay, it's time to bring the giveaways back.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it too. It's like, I feel like when I'm like, oh, let me try a giveaway. Like, it's not something that I think about all the time. It's definitely not like a mainstream strategy for me. But yeah, totally agree.
Okay, let's talk about wholesale. And you're in an interesting position because you buy wholesale and you sell wholesale. So, okay, you've said you use Fair. Tell us a little bit about your wholesale strategy, like what that looks like, how you get new buyers. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So like I said, I really believe in wholesale because these people who, and like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about doing it, do it. You have a small business, you have a brand, just do it. Try and get into a couple stores. It's awesome because these people are my salespeople all over the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Seattle. They're awesome. So that's my pitch for wholesale.
But make sure your margins are good, that you're still getting paid, y'all.
Yes. That's the other thing, is that like, I'm talking it up so much, but I do recognize that I'm making less money on my wholesale stuff. However, I'm gaining that traction in these stores and these places where people might never have seen my products before. And it sticks with them too. People will now be in my store and be like, oh, I saw this at Magpie in Somerville, or I saw this at someplace. So it does stick because they trust that store and they like it. And so they're like, oh, this person at my favorite store picked this. I like it. So anyways, when I first started like I was like, I want to get into a couple stores. And this is when I only had a couple products. I literally would just go into stores and talk to them face to face. And it was a good strategy for me because I was putting myself out there, but it was limited to where I could like literally drive. But I got into some of the accounts that are really great and I've still been with them. So it's been quite a long time, like over 5 years that I've been in these places. And one of them, who you know, I went into in like late summer 2017, I went to House Witch in Somerville or Salem, sorry. And you know her well. And this was such a memorable moment for me. I'm sure she completely forgot about it, but for me, it was amazing because I walked in there and I kind of at the time, like I would bring a tea towel or I'd bring like a zine or something sticker and something cute to leave behind that they would like kind of remember, but wasn't that expensive for me to give away. And so I was kind of like going in there being like, oh, I'm Amy, here's my brand. And if you want to buy some tea towels, and kind of like very shyly saying that, and I was going to like slink away and be like, she can think about it. But Erica stopped and was like, well, what's your deal? Like, give me your pitch. And I was like,
That sounds like her.
It was awesome. I mean, she just directly was like, sell me. Like, you came here to sell me. You got to sell me. And so I was like, turned it on and was like, here's my brand. And it was amazing. And I still remember that. And especially now, like you said, like I have my own store and sometimes people come in and show me their work. And I still don't have the confidence to be like, pitch to me. But I'm definitely aspiring to be at that Erica level of direct, confident, like amazing, like very decisive person. So that was great. But on that note, I think that selling wholesale is like, you do have to have this short pitch, because then I went into the process of like, I just have this gigantic spreadsheet that I think has like over 1200 shops now that I've contacted, where I would send them cold emails. And understanding that, like, at first it was sort of disappointing and it was something I would kind of like plug away at in my free time. Like, let me send some cold emails right now. And that was just like from me Googling like gift shops in Austin, Texas, you know? So I built this whole thing, contacting people. Some people, you just have to reach out to them multiple times over the course of multiple years. And now that I'm on Fair, some of those people that I emailed over and over and over and over again and got no response, now they're ordering from me. And maybe they read the email at one point and it sunk in. But when I do those pitches, I say like, okay, this is a bookstore. Like, I'm going to pitch them my Well-Read, Well-Fit, or this is a cheese store. I'm going to pitch them Cabernet and Equal Pay or Always Be Kind or something like that. So I try to be a little bit more targeted with those pitches now. And then I joined Fair. I was really dragging my heels about joining Fair because they take commission. And so I thought that that was like
on top of the 50%.
Yeah, I felt that that was a deal breaker for me for a long time. And then last year, and then I joined Fair, but I was like, okay, let me just put my tea towels up there because at least the margin's there. I can stretch more of my margin there. It's really hard to stretch like a wholesale margin on the apparel for me because of the profit margin. But yeah, like these, when you're selling wholesale, the person who's buying from you wants to mark it up 50%. So if my products are already marked up 50%, that would mean that I'm not making any money. So I do play a lot with the pricing there and knowing that my wholesale customers are spending a little bit more. But anyways, I was dragging my feet about joining Fair for a long time because of that commission thing. But once I joined, I just sort of adjusted my prices to account for that commission. And then last year I attended New York Now, so I was exhibiting there, which it did not yield anything even remotely close to what they said it was going to. It was honestly like a really, like almost like a complete waste of time.
And you're paying what, like $3,000 for a booth or something?
Yeah, I think it was actually $5,000. So in my experience, it was almost, I mean, it was an enormous amount to spend for what I actually yielded in terms of my wholesale clients. But when I was there, I was talking with a lot of the other vendors in my area, and they were all just talking about how you should get on Fair and like become a top shop. And so you only have to do a couple of criteria things to become a top shop. Like, you have to fulfill a certain number of orders, you have to, or repeat orders, you have to add a couple new products every once in a while. And I think you have to run a marketing campaign. Honestly, the criteria are pretty manageable for any business, I think. And they're like, just play the game, just become a top shop. Because then when buyers are looking through Fair and they see top shop, like they're more likely to click on it, which I can now attest that when I'm looking on Fair and I see top shop, I'm like, oh, let me check this out. Not that I'm like only looking at that now that I'm a buyer, but it shows me something. And then also, like, as a buyer, I think that like packaging or like how the product is presented is really important, because you could have amazing, really well-made candles, but if they don't have a flashy, not flashy, but if they don't have a good label.
We love the label. We need a good label.
But it really is true, like that I've seen with my customers in the store. So that hasn't necessarily like informed how I present my products necessarily, but I do see what products are the most successful for sure. And I do a lot of my buying through Fair.
So is NY Now the only wholesale trade show you've done?
Yeah. So it was happening, I think, at the same time as Shop Object, which a lot of people, and these are both happening like right now, I think, which is February.
At the time of this recording.
Yes. Timestamp February. So
you haven't done the New England one? The New England?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I've been hearing about that lately.
Oh, is that the one that's in Maine?
I think they have a Massachusetts one and a like Maine, one's fall, one's spring or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I always say, but like, even though that was like really disappointing in terms of like what they promised, they're like, buyers from Target are here, buyers from blah, blah, blah. And like they just were walking the floor and like looking at their phone, like not looking at products in my experience, which was very surprising and weird. And anyway, I still like, I never do a show and I'm like, that was 100% a waste of time. There's always something to learn or to be gained. And that was my takeaway from that. And like, even if I did another show and I didn't like break even or something, I just always think that there's something to be gained.
So you're doing a lot right now, right? So you have your product, you're selling D2C, you're also still working your wholesale angle, right? That's an active pitching situation. You're still doing events, even though you have your retail store, right? You're planning on that for the summer, or you don't know?
Yeah. So, well, right now I'm actually like mostly like hosting events at the store. I haven't been doing like the catering or like doing outside events.
No, I mean, like, are you going to do other markets too?
Oh, markets, attending markets. Yes. Yes. Okay. So I'm sort of like, last year I kind of had to step out of a lot. I like bailed on a lot of my summer markets because I was setting up the store. But this year, now that I sort of have more feet on the ground, I'm definitely going to have choice places where I go. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess my question for you, well, I guess I want to talk about wholesale first, and then I want to come back to how are you balancing all of this. But when you're looking for wholesale for your own shop, we talked about labels. Like, what else are you looking for? Like, what are you looking for in your retail shop?
That's a really good question. Well, first of all, I refine it to woman-owned businesses. So that's a good way to, like, you know, cut out a lot of other things that I see online. But then I also try to, and then like the values of the store are like the same as my brand, food and feminism. So I really try to have the products be somehow connected to food, because I just want it to have this cohesive foodie theme to the store. Sometimes they're not, but so that's like another thing that I look for, but definitely things that are unique, something that someone wouldn't have seen before, but that they're like really excited to be seeing right now. Like, for example, I have this candle that's the shape of an heirloom tomato. And then I have another candle that's the shape of a farfalle pasta. And so like, people are like, whoa, oh my God, I love this. And so it's like, I like to like kind of provide the unexpected or something funny. So I like I have this sticker that says, hello, I'm on my way to buy myself a little treat. And people laugh out loud at that every single day. I probably sell one every single day. I'm constantly going through those. So something funny is another value I think that I look for. Yeah. Another thing is that like, I like to have these unexpected things. And I also want to be a place to introduce people to brands, especially if they're really small or they're getting started or they have like this unique offering and they're like, you know, amazing artists. But then there's also an element of it where I want people to see things that they recognize, because I think that also makes people feel comfortable shopping. Like, for example, I have like the Fly By Jing chili crisp, which is like a really popular chili crisp on the market. I have Fishwife tinned fish. So like, these are things that I feel like show up on TikTok and social media a lot. People are aware of them. So I think positioning like popular brands is important too, you know, Grazza olive oil, that kind of thing.
It's so exciting. And this is, okay, well, I want to pop in and say, you're going to have my bumper stickers there, abortion is healthcare bumper stickers, and our new girl dinner sticker, which I'm so excited about. But as you're talking about this, I'm just like thinking that I did, okay, so normally with my products, I, especially stickers, I write Girl Gang Craft on them somewhere. And I'm just in this moment processing that I didn't do that on the Girl Dinner stickers. So learn from my mistakes, people listening. Make sure that, especially if you're having stickers or any sort of item, period, needs to have some sort of mark back to your brand for advertising purposes, right? You want to be an introduction. The store serves as an introduction to your brand, and you want people to not only frequent the store again, but also follow you on social media, check out, you know, be involved in you as a brand. Yeah. So whether that's hang tags or like a sticker on a sticker or like, I don't know, put your information somewhere on all your items.
Yes, 100%. There are a lot of people who, and my products included, when you have them and then you go to use them, like you take the sticker off the sheet or whatever, and you just put it on, like it's divorced from the original maker. And so, you know, of course someone can Google it or reverse image search it or something, but I love when people have a QR code on their product or they just package it as a presentation with their brand information for sure. And for, I probably like last year just started putting Over Seasoned on my tea towel. Like for the longest time, it was just like, it has the design, and because I didn't want to disrupt the design by putting something on it. And I don't want to do that on the apparel, but I literally just started doing that.
Do you do hang tags for your... Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I have the hang tag, but 100% context of your brand is great.
Yeah. We were doing custom labels on all of our products for a little bit. And then I had a seamstress doing them for me in California, and I don't have that here. So I sort of dropped the ball on that. But yeah, it's a whole other step and it's a whole other expense.
Yeah. I would love to do that. Like where you have the little thing that's stitched on, like you said, with your brand. I feel like that's like a 3.0 evolution for me. That would be really, really cool. But I haven't done that yet either.
Yeah. I was looking into like mini screen printing that you could just do in the like the tag area. Anyways, it's again, it's an, you know, it's an extra expense.
Yes. And a time. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How do you balance all of this?
Well, when you first said that, I laughed, and I just laughed again because.
Try your best.
I don't have a meaningful solution or answer to it. One of my responses to it was to get a tattoo of a flamingo standing on one leg to symbolize balance. Obviously, that's done pretty much nothing for me and my strategy.
Oh, you've done that. You have that.
I got the tattoo.
Yes.
The imagery is there permanently. So I look at it all the time and I'm like, I wonder how I'm going to figure out how to balance everything. But as a real answer, I try to, like, something that I try to do lately is like be in sprints. So like be in a sprint of, okay, right now I'm pursuing a lot of wholesale people because it's a good time for it. And then it's like, okay, maybe like last September, I was in a sprint of like designing things where I had a couple ideas and I was like, I'm just going to get into a practice of having time to sit down and do my digital drawing and design a couple of things. So I put, I think, 3 things out there. So I just kind of went through a little mini sprint. And there's, because there's certain times they're just not appropriate for doing certain things. Like when it's so busy.
Don't do anything in December. Don't plan for anything else.
Exactly. And like December, I don't even think about my wholesale clients. No offense. But like,
because they don't think about you during December either.
No, I'm going to think about them in January and that's great. And then they're going to think about me. So I'm saying this, like, that's sort of the overall goal. It doesn't always work that way because, you know, things come up. And like when you're the founder and you're running things, like issues are coming to you, you got to solve them on a day to day. So like I could spend my whole day just responding to things that come in, but I try to do like the sprints or even on a day to day basis. Okay, today I'm meeting with my assistant. We're doing marketing. We're doing content. I think that's really important in terms of if you're the one doing everything, like you have to make your content, you've got to do your marketing email, you've got to do your taxes and everything. I think it's so important to, especially when it comes to content, dedicate a day to it. Because if you're like, oh, I have to make a reel today, and every single day you're like, let me do this, and then it eats up 2 hours of your time. It's just, I was doing that for so long and just completely hamster wheeling. So yeah, I guess that's, but another answer to the question about balance is like, I also try to be pursuing something that I think is really fun and interesting and adding something new to the brand, like in terms of like, okay, now I'm doing a new design, or now I'm going to put myself out there in a different type of store. I'm going to try and contact somebody new, because that to me helps me stay motivated and interested in what I'm doing. So like, for example, in January, I started hosting events at the store, and I call them cozy and crafty. So we have, like, you know, the cozies, which is like, you know, yoga and sound bath, and then the crafty, which is like learn to knit, learn to embroider, learn to collage. And so that has been something that's exciting and also generating more ideas for me. So I understand that there are seasons to work on certain things, and then I also just push for more fun things. So
I love it. Okay. Well, this has been so amazing, Amy. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you?
Absolutely. So my website is overseason.com, and that's where you can find all of my products, including all of the cool products that I sell at Matriarch. So Matriarch is my store. It's at 468 Fame Street on Newport. You can't miss it. It has all these lemons outside. And in the summer, it has all these window boxes that are exploding with flowers that my mom won an award for last year. But on my website, you can also buy the cookbooks, the books. And so I tried to get everything so you can have like the in-store experience online as well. And I am technically on TikTok, but not very active. So check it out, I guess. And yeah, thank you so much for having me and helping me talk through some of these things that clearly I still need to find solutions for.
No, I love it. It's been so helpful. Okay. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Girl Gang Craft podcast. Head to girlgangcraft.com/podcast for show notes and more. See you next time.